brain health has been very popular in the news lately, and this podcast is for you if you've ever had brain fog, cognitive decline, Alzheimer's, CTE, any of these issues. This is the podcast where we're going to jump into the latest research from Dr. Dale Bredesen, Dr. Daniel Amen, Dave Asprey of the Bulletproof Diet, so many other people, all the minds that are really out there paving the way, blazing a path for new research, new strategies that are actually working to get your brain optimized and working at its highest level. The Brain Builders Podcast is just for you. So get a notebook, get a pen, and get ready to open up your mind and get back to the person that you were meant to be. Hello, 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 and welcome to the Brain Builders Podcast. I am your host, Dr. John DeWitt. And today we're going to get back to the skinny on fat. And this is from Dave Asprey's book, Headstrong and Bulletproof Plan to Activate Untapped Brain Energy to Work Smarter and Think Faster in Just 2 Weeks. Today we are going to talk and get back to the information from Mary Enig, PhD. She has two helpful ways to understand fats. Now, the first is to look at the length of a fat molecule. As a general rule, the shorter the fat, the more anti-inflammatory properties it offers. Short and medium chain fats, which include the butyric acid found in butter and two of the four types of medium chain triglycerides, or MCTs, found in coconut oil, are important choices. In addition to being anti-inflammatory, butyric acid also helps to protect the blood-brain barrier. And eating the butyric acid found in delicious creamy butter has beneficial effects different from the ones you get when your gut bacteria make butyric acid from fiber. If that isn't a case for the inherent wisdom in nature, I don't know what is. The second way to understand the value of a fat is to look at how stable it is. Oxygen, as you now know, drives chemical reactions in the body. These chemical reactions can damage fats, some more easily than others. Oxidized or damaged fats create inflammation in the body. When your body uses these damaged fats to make cell membranes, they are less flexible and less effective, and they create harmful free radicals. These free radicals cause even more inflammation and age you quickly. Damaged fats are the enemy of performance, starting in your brain. Your body wisely uses many of the most stable fats to which it has access when making cell membranes and hormones. These are saturated fats, which have the fewest places for oxygen to cause damage through oxidation, and just enough of damage-prone omega-3 fats to make membranes work. When you eat saturated fats, your brain can create strong, stable cell membranes. The second most stable fats are monounsaturated fats, which have only one vulnerable spot where oxygen can get in and wreak havoc. Mono means one. Unsaturated fats are the least stable and the most inflammatory type of fats, but the brain does need some of them. Omega-3s and omega-6s are both essential unsaturated fats. As you may recall earlier, omega-3 fats are anti-inflammatory, while excessive omega-6 fats are inflammatory. Your brain needs the right ratio of these fats for optimal function. But omega-3s offer more than just anti-inflammatory benefits. You may already be familiar with the two most important types of omega-3 fatty acids for your brain, eicosapentaenoic acid, which is EPA, and dicosahexaenoic acid, or DHA. EPA is a powerful anti-inflammatory, while DHA is the primary structural fatty acid in your brain, your retina, and your central nervous system, and is essential for brain development. Now go back and let's review that last sentence again. DHA is the primary structural fatty acid in the human brain. In fact, some researchers believe that it was an increase in our intake of DHA that allowed humans to grow such large and powerful brains. Yet we cannot make DHA ourselves. We have to get it from dietary sources. It is in great supply in human breast milk because it is essential for a baby's growing brain. Even before a woman is pregnant, her body stores extra DHA in her hips and rear end. Some research suggests that men have evolved to prefer curvy body types because those curves signal a woman's ability to have healthy children. By the time a woman gives birth to her second child, her supply of DHA has often dwindled. Some theorize that this is why, on average, firstborn children score higher on aptitude tests than their younger siblings. You need plenty of DHA if you are literally growing a human brain in your uterus, but DHA is just as necessary for you to maintain a highly performing adult human brain, whether or not you are pregnant. A widespread study of 485 people aged 55 and over showed that those who took DHA supplements for 6 months demonstrated significant improvements in memory and learning. The study also showed that higher DHA intake is inversely correlated with the relative risk of developing Alzheimer's disease. In other words, the more DHA you consume, the less likely you are to get Alzheimer's. Studies on mice have shown that DHA improves memory and slows the progression of Alzheimer's disease. And we have every reason to believe the same is true in humans. Here are some of the best sources of fat to maximize your smart, sexy, fatty brain. Grass-fed animal fat and meat. Bone marrow, lard, etc., but not poultry fat. A 2006 study showed that grass-fed cows have more healthy omega-3s and more conjugated linoleic acid, or CLA, which is a type of naturally occurring trans fatty acid that improves brain function, causes weight loss, and reduces your risk of cancer. Just 80 days of grain feeding was enough to destroy the omega-3 and CLA content of the beef, but the longer the animal ate grains, the lower the quality of the meat. The omega-3 quantity in grain-fed meat was so low that it didn't qualify as a meaningful dietary source, while the grass-fed meat had enough omega-3s to be considered a good source of these fats. In 2008, another study showed that grass-fed meat had slightly less total fat than grain-fed meat, but the real difference was that type of fat. Grass-fed meat was higher in saturated fat, omega-3, CLA, and transvaccinic acid, or TVA, which is similar to CLA. Grain-fed and grass-fed animals had about the same amount of omega-6 to omega-3 fatty acids and healthier fats overall. Bone marrow was especially high in omega-3 fats, and some researchers believe that the practice of cracking open scavenged bones and consuming the marrow was what allowed our ancestors to develop large brains. Grass-fed beef tallow. Tallow is sort of like butter that's made of animal fat instead of milk fat. It's solid at room temperature, which means it's extremely stable. Grass-fed tallow also has a good omega-6 to omega-3 ratio and can be delicious and good for you, especially if it's prepared with care. Pastured egg yolks. Just like butter, egg yolks lose most of their nutritional benefits when they come from an animal that was fed antibiotics and GMO, genetically modified organisms, corn and soy, which is a diet of essentially all chickens you'll find in the supermarkets. Even organic chickens eat mostly organic grains. Sure, that's better than eating GMO grains, but not by much. Pastured egg yolks from chickens that eat grass and have the freedom to roam wherever they like have a deep golden color from their vitamin A and antioxidants and contain twice as many omega-3s as regular eggs. Hold on, I want to say that again. Twice as many. You want to eat your yolks runny, as in sunny side up, soft-boiled, or poached, so you don't damage the valuable cholesterol and phospholipids found in yolks. Hard-cooked eggs are much more inflammatory. So that's for saturated fats. The best source of monounsaturated fats, olive oil. Olive oil contains oleocanthal and allurapine, two anti-inflammatory and highly potent antioxidants. Oleocanthal is almost medicinal in its health effects. It has been shown in studies to clear the brain of the dangerous amyloid plaques that are linked to Alzheimer's, and it also causes the death of cancer cells. However, it's important to treat olive oil with care because as a monounsaturated fat, it is less stable than proper cooking fats such as ghee and coconut oil. Oleocanthal is easily damaged when heated, so it's best not to heat or cook with extra virgin olive oil. Just add it to salads or cooked foods after they've been heated. Olive oil can oxidize when exposed to light, so look for olive oil that comes bottled in dark glass. Recent investigations into the olive oil industry have revealed that a lot of companies illegally dilute their olive oil with cheaper oils, so it's important to find a brand you trust. California olive oils are a good choice because they're usually produced by smaller companies that are often fresher than European options. Olive oil is heavy and expensive to ship by air, so most European companies send it to the United States by boat. By the time you take the olive oil off the shelf, it's often several months old, and some of its beneficial compounds have degraded. So here are the best sources of omega-3 fatty acids. Wild-caught low-mercury seafood. Wild-caught seafood is high in healthy fats, micronutrients, microminerals, and antioxidants. Farmed seafood can be high in pesticides, toxins, heavy metals, parasites, pathogens, and environmental contaminants. It is also much lower in nutrients and healthy fats than wild-caught seafood. All fish contain some mercury, and your brain can handle small amounts, but it's best to choose seafood with the lowest possible levels. Of course, different types of seafood also offer varying amounts of omega-3s. Many fish are higher in DHA than EPA, yet all contain some of both fatty acids. The following choices are relatively high in omega-3s and low in mercury. Sardines, sockeye salmon, anchovies, mackerel, and wild trout. Another good source of omega-3s is fish or krill oil. Many people buy fish oil to increase their omega-3 intake, but poor quality fish oil can cause more problems than it solves. Many of the discount brands you are likely to see at your local grocery store are contaminated, oxidized, and low potency. They smell extra fishy when you open a capsule. If you can't find a good fish oil, you're much better off avoiding it altogether. This is why I recommend krill oil over fish oil. Krill oil is more stable and is phosphorylated, meaning it's easier for your brain to use. It also contains astaxanthin, a potent antioxidant shown to improve mitochondria. And as a side note, that's also extremely good for optimizing your vision. If it's not clear by now, it bears repeating. To help your brain work at its fullest potential, you're going to consume the right kind of fat. It is the most important macronutrient for your brain. And as a bonus, it's satiating and tastes good. Fat kills cravings. You'll never feel hungry or deprived while you're eating the healthy fats on the Headstrong program. Ketosis is the mostest. All right. In the year 400 BC, the Greek physician who later came to be known as the father of Western medicine, Hippocrates, wrote about a miraculous recovery he had witnessed. When a man who suffered from debilitating seizures abstained from food, he experienced an incredible improvement in his symptoms. At the time, of course, there was no name for epilepsy or an understanding of the seizures it caused, but it was clear that when a person who was suffering stopped eating, the seizures also stopped. It wasn't until the 20th century that the scientist George Cahill learned that fasting prevents seizures by putting the patient into a state known as ketosis. During periods of fasting or severe carbohydrate restriction, the liver breaks down fatty acids to produce ketone bodies, which are water-soluble molecules that are the ideal fuel for our mitochondria, much better than sugar. When your mitochondria are using ketones as fuel to create ATP, you are in a state of ketosis. This is a state of high performance, but one you might not want to be in all of the time. It increases your mitochondria's energetic output, reduces your production of free radicals, and increases your production of the important inhibitory neurotransmitter, GABA. Later on, we'll explain the difference between or to get into ketosis. It turns out that ketosis protects epileptics from that double-edged sword, oxygen. Your cells need oxygen to make energy, but oxygen stimulates neurons, and too much neuron stimulation can cause excitotoxicity. This is a process that kills neurons by overactivating neurotransmitter receptors and generating oxidative stress and can cause seizures. Ketosis increases GABA and antioxidant levels, which helps prevent seizures. It doesn't hurt that your mitochondria create ATP more efficiently from ketones and glucose, creating less oxidative stress in the process and providing more energy for your neurons to control excitotoxicity. And as you've already learned, when your mitochondria are working better, they make fewer free radicals. More about ketosis next time on the Brain Builders podcast. I am your host, Dr. John DeWitt. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time.